It's episode 5026 of the Peer Advantage podcast. Hey, welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here, coming to you from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. You can find show notes and other useful resources by going to the website growgreat.com. Today, it's about the third opinion, how successful leaders use outside insight to create superior results. Yes, it's the title of a book. The book is written by Saj Nicole Joni, Ph.D. Ms. Joni is, she's just brilliant, pure and simple. The book was published in 2004. She is the founder of Cambridge International Group Limited, a high-level advisory services firm. She was also on the faculty of MIT in applied mathematics. She has written three books dealing with the power of connection and collaboration, especially as it relates to C-level leadership. This book is the first of the three, as I said, published in 2004. The subtitle, How Successful Leaders Use Outside Insight to Create Superior Results, well, that's as good a summary as you're going to get about this book. We'll dive more deeply, obviously, in our summary here. Ms. Joni does a good job of illustrating the points with terrific stories, which I will not have time nor the inclination to dive into more deeply here because, well, I want to spark your curiosity. I want to provoke you to think, and I really want to provoke you to read the book and to think about how you can make application in your leadership with your business. So we're going to do a chapter by chapter, and I may do even a wrap-up. There are 10 chapters. Today we'll dive into chapter 1. Let me begin and preface this by telling you that I decided to go back and revisit this book, which I'd had for a couple of years, because last year, as you well know, I began to kind of morph and pivot a little bit from just merely executive coaching to really wanting to be in what I have called the peer advantage space. You can find out more about what I'm doing by going to thepeeradvantage.com. In short, I'm assembling a group, two groups of seven, virtual groups. These will be groups that will meet online, small business owners. So if you're a small business owner, then I'm talking to you. Small business owners from around the United States who will get together. And much of what Ms. Joni talks about is exactly why I am so passionate, so enthusiastic, and so interested in this kind of work. And so in 2017, I began to morph and pivot away from merely doing executive coaching to putting myself in a position where this year, at this point in the year, early here, I can start building and assembling these two groups. So with that, let's dive into chapter one, shall we? The book begins with a story, and this chapter, like all chapters, is filled with a number of stories to illustrate her points. It begins with a story of a corporate leader who is facing some really complex challenges. And there are a number of questions that he's facing, and he just finds himself alone, literally and figuratively. He is alone in his office. He is wondering not only what to do, but who he could possibly collaborate with so that he can make the best decision. He's a guy who has come up through the ranks. He's been accustomed to hashing things out with somebody, a sounding board. But now he realizes he's at a point in his career where he is the company's number one. He ain't got anybody. Everybody that he thinks about, he excludes them for a variety of reasons. Employees, staffers, well, they're excluded because they have their own self-interest to consider. And they're not prone to be as candid as he really is going to need for this particular challenge. No way he's going to go talk to colleagues around the world who hold equivalent positions like his. Because this particular challenge is one where it does not need to get leaked out to the public. Well, that'd be a surefire way to make sure that happens. So that's out. Confidentiality is critical because his challenge involves protecting the reputation of the company. The requirements for leadership have changed through the years. Leaders from all over the globe face complex issues, uncertainty, and sensitivity. Speed has also changed the game as leaders realize precise thinking and precise judgment. Now they have to happen faster than ever. And these changes have been incremental over time. There's been a cumulative pileup of these things creating some new leadership challenges. Speed is a given, and it has changed more than just time. Increasingly, businesses are having to operate all phases of their business in real time or near real time. Technology has given us instant feedback. Expertise is fleeting. Most leaders in their careers, they're required to learn and to function and to lead in some areas now that are well beyond their educational background and their experience. What you may have been an expert at a year ago, well, that has changed. And if you have not kept up, you're no longer an expert. Learning to deal with trust issues in an environment of change, that's trickier than ever. Cooperation and competition, these are tricky waters of trust to navigate at every level. Cross-industry change and competition, it's the name of the game today. The barrier to entry for many industries is rapidly getting lower. It's plummeting. And so new forms of competition and new opportunities, they're everywhere. Maintaining a profit margin, well, this is historically a problem. And it is increasingly a matter of complexity because competition continues to pressure change. Companies just can't continue to pound out the same widgets year after year, rely on the same customer base. Maintaining your profit margins is increasingly a matter of being able to outplay your competition in the complexity game. Globalization is the norm in just about every business. Okay, granted, I'll insert here, for small businesses, maybe not so much, but if you're going to scale up a business to thrive, you're going to have to do business in countries outside your own. The opportunities are larger today than they ever have been, but so are the risks. Information and network complexity, well, those have increased. We can all sense that. All of us are overwhelmed with information, and being able to see several moves ahead, super critical. Authority, well, that's given way to influence. I'm an older guy, and I came up in an era where authority was kind of the way of the world. That has given way now to influence. Shared information and decision-making are now everywhere because we have moved to an information-based world, and no single one of us, we just can't have all the information that we need. We need to seek it from some other people. Leaders have to get their organizations and their partners' organizations to work together by exerting influence instead of merely relying on authority. New technologies. New technologies are disrupting any and all markets. I mean, all you got to do is look at Uber and Airbnb to see that even some of the most stodgy of industries have been disrupted. Relentless scientific innovation is going to continue to foster disruptive changes that are going to transform businesses in ways that we can't possibly predict. Top talent. I don't know any business leader who doesn't complain at one point or another about the ability to find top talent. It's harder and harder to come by. It is a demographic issue. It is also a supply and demand kind of a quandary. Winning organizations have to search harder and develop new ways to attract and keep. That's super critical, to keep talent. Corporate ethics. Corporate ethics are under increased scrutiny. We have now concerns about privacy. You will see stories in the headlines about not only that, but executive compensation, governance, intellectual property. I mean, a lot of things are increasingly being scrutinized as companies' sexual harassment. I mean, ethics issues are a big deal. Security, that's also a big deal. It's now a strategic business issue. Here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I'll insert here, Toyota is coming here, AT&T moved here. Dallas made the top 25 list for potential places for a second headquarters for Amazon. As these companies come into the area where I reside, they're thinking about security. They're thinking about the safety of their workplace. All of the increased complexity in business have resulted in appropriate safety and security issues. Now, all of these things together, argues Ms. Jonai, have raised the bar for leadership today. And I agree with her. There are two questions that business leaders must ask themselves as they navigate managing their organization. Number one, what kind of leader do you have to be to deliver results and success today? Number two, what kind of team do you have to assemble to work with you in this new era? Jonai tells the story of a leader who was promoted to VP status. This new VP, she dives into her new role. She's 6 months into the job. She's working hard. She's filled with drive. She's putting in long hours. But she's distrustful of other people. And along the way, her boss has inserted a few people into her team in hopes to help her perform at a higher level, in hopes of forging some collaboration that she needs. But instead of listening to other people, this VP, this new promoted VP, she has siloed herself because she incorrectly thinks that's the path to her career success. Now, her boss believes in her. And he thinks, you know, if he could just find a suitable mentor who could mentor her over a period of time, he really thinks that he might be able to influence her to step up her game. And so he reaches out to a retired executive to mentor her. He's having to consider this because she is so mistrustful of other people. And it has caused her to hit this leadership wall that now her boss is going to try to help her. I'll insert here, she could just as easily had a boss that would say, you know, I'm not going to put the effort in. You know, you hadn't figured it out by now, I'm done. Outside thinking partners are too important to be left to chance. Most leaders who experience the benefits of thinking partners never go back to leading without such a resource. Rather, they continue to look for and develop a broad advisory network throughout their careers. Today's leaders need to start early and think systematically about the kind of team they want to assemble. And that doesn't mean just their inside team. It means the team of people. It means the people they surround themselves with. The role of a key leader demands rapid assimilation and growth. Key leaders, especially young and quickly promoted leaders today, they prove themselves at one level only to find that they've got to learn a whole new set of competencies at the next level. And so leaders are facing greater complexity more quickly in their careers than they ever have. They need to lead in areas where they're not expert. And they need expert input, and they need a safe place to ask hard questions without constantly filtering for spin and self-interest and other agendas. What kind of advice and counsel do leaders require today? Now, people in high places have always been able to seek out and get good advice and good counsel from the best and the brightest. History proves it. One of the best illustrations that the author points out may be Clark Clifford, who served as an advisor to several U.S. presidents, most notably John Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson. He was also an advisor to top corporate leaders. In his memoir, Counsel to the President, He described the vital importance of having well-placed and well-prepared outsiders in your inner circle. Here's what he wrote, and I'm quoting. Even if he ignores the advice, every president should ensure that he gets a third opinion from selection and seasoned private citizens that he trusts. The second opinion should come from congressional leaders. Though cabinet members and senior White House aides often resent outside advisors, a president takes too many risks when he relies solely on his own staff and the federal bureaucracy for advice. Each has its own personal or institutional priorities to protect. An outside advisor can serve the role of a doubting Thomas when the bureaucracies line up behind a single proposition or help the president reach a judgment when there is a dispute within government. They can give the president a different perspective on his own situation. They can be frank with him when White House aides are not. The risk to the organization, that's the end of the quote, by the way, the risk to the organization and the leader determined to go it alone, they're greater than ever. It's just dangerous. It's not enough to have a brilliant team. There's plenty of historical proof of too many executives who did not see it coming. And if they did, they weren't able to do anything about it. Not in time. Leadership today demands outside thinking partners in addition to having a top-notch team of direct reports. The author spent 3 years prior to the publication of this book researching various things, and in the 3 years of research, it led her to two insights that really form the heart of this book. Insight number one is this. Leadership today requires three new habits. The habit of the mind, the habit of relationship, and the habit of focus. Insight number two in her research was that you can start developing the three habits and your advisory network at any time during your career. So she writes about these habits. Number one, the habit of mind. Leaders must master a new way of thinking. Joan I calls this exponential thinking because it allows you to see all sides of a complex issue. Exponential thinking is best done with other people. And this kind of thinking plays an important role in decisions where there is high ambiguity, there's high uncertainty, there's high risk. Well, doesn't that just fit the bill for nearly every decision that you face? Exponential thinking is required at all levels today, not just the C-suite. Key leaders must have this. Number two, the habit of relationship. Leaders today must assemble a new kind of leadership team, one that ensures they undertake the right kind of exploratory thinking and one that challenges perspectives. Leaders need external thinking partners so they can explore sensitive and edgy issues with high trust and with an external perspective. Now, these are compartmentalized roles, but a person can play a different role. For instance, one person might move from a subject expert to a thinking partner and then sometimes to an action team member. That is somebody who's actually going to carry out the work. And they can do that at different times, but depending on the circumstance, depending on the expertise, depending on the interest. So your ability as a leader to get results in increasingly boundaryless organization depends on how well you can orchestrate your network of important relationships. Habit number three, habit of focus. Leaders have to have the skill and the discipline to focus on the essential, non-urgent issues. Leaders today, we face an information overload, and we face the increasing demands for speed. More and more daily work has become urgent. But for you as a leader, especially as the number one or as a business owner, getting daily work, getting the daily work done, that isn't what your leadership is all about. Leaders have got to be able to create and execute strategies to carry out their leadership agenda. Mastery of the habit of focus is being able to function effectively in your high-pressure environment and make progress on the big, longer-term issues that need your attention. Your sustained focus on the non-urgent, important issues is ultimately what's going to define your leadership. That's going to be what differentiates you. That's going to be what makes your unique contributions and ability to deliver value that nobody else can. Insight number two is that anybody can develop these three habits at any time. But the author argues it's important to develop these habits in concert. Now, she writes that everybody is going to use these habits a bit differently, but there are some guidelines to help us focus on perfecting the various parts of each habit in our leadership progress. She asked the question, where do today's leaders turn for outside insight to help them? That's a great question. Where do you turn for outside help? Each leader's sources are going to be different, argues the author. It is probably going to be a mixture of formal and informal networks. And there is a range of models for developing a properly balanced advisory network, and they vary depending on your career and where you're at. Most likely you already have some sort of a network, but it might not be developed to its full potential, and it may not even be well tuned to what you really need. And the author is going to dive more deeply into the practical steps of all that in chapters 7, 8, and 9. So we got a little ways to go before we get there, but that's okay. We want to provoke some thought. Now, the author puts forth that there are some important inner circle conversations. And in these inner circle thinking partnership conversations, they can be broad, but they typically are going to fall into one or more of four basic categories of the kinds of conversations. And here they are. One is the visionary conversation. The main purpose of this dialogue is to imagine the different futures that a person might create, that you as a leader might create, and use that insight in the present. In this conversation, you and your thinking partners, you're considering everything, including world trends. And sometimes you're looking long into the future. You might be looking a decade from now. If this is the future you want to commit to creating or to avoiding, then what are the steps that you should take now to influence those desired outcomes? That's what this visionary conversation is about. The second one is the sounding board conversation. Now, this happens when you want to work with somebody who has the right expertise, the right wisdom, the right experience to take a third opinion look at a new strategy or some new idea. So you and your thinking partner, you're looking together at the implicit assumptions that are involved in this course of action, and you're checking those against external reality, and you're vetting this decision in a variety of ways, and you could be including all kinds of considerations, legal, political, environmental. This is what-ifing, right? This sounding board stuff. This is where we what-if. We ask the what and the why questions. What if? The third conversation is the big picture conversation. Here, a leader and a thinking partner, they step back, they look at all the things going on, and they make sure that where they are intending to go is aligned with all these moving parts in their life to get there. And the main purpose here is to just make sure we're not overlooking something. The fourth conversation is the expertise in inquiry conversation. Here, the leader is looking for more than an expert problem-solving conversation. You're really looking to develop your knowledge, but also to develop some fundamental models and new ways of thinking. You need a thinking partner who is an expert, an expansive thinker, and somebody who can help you learn the new information in ways that are highly relevant to your situation. That's what this conversation is about. Again, you can't be an expert at everything, but you can go solicit people who are, and you can have this expert in inquiry conversation that the author talks about. Today, leaders have to know their limitations. And then you have to learn how to go out and find other people who can take you the rest of the way. Now, the author writes, you might be reading this chapter and you might be thinking, well, is this a book about executive coaching? And she argues yes and no. Executive coaches are one species within the thinking partner universe. And executive coaches typically work as thinking partners with their clients on issues in the areas of inter and intrapersonal dynamics, communications, and organizational development. But they also can help clients explore areas of personal leadership, thinking with leaders about their purpose and authenticity. What do you look for in your most important advisors and thinking partners? It's a question the author asks, and it's a great question. Thinking partners are exponential thinkers that are able, they're able to offer you new information. They're able to give you new perspectives. They help you explore existing models and mindsets, and they challenge you to grow. The best thinking partners have an aptitude to see a problem at several different levels. And so the author argues that the capabilities of your inner circle thinking partners, it should reach well beyond categories of expertise. In other words, you're just not looking to surround yourself with, okay, this guy, he's an expert at finance, this guy's an expert at product development and the like. And so she puts forth some bullet points of what you should look for, and here's what she says. The ability to see all sides of a complex issue, what she calls exponential thinking. You should look for someone who asks great questions and listens closely, including for what is not said. You should look for someone who doesn't offer advice, somebody who will, well, you should do this and you should do that. You want someone who has a reputation for integrity. You want someone who has high-quality expertise and experience relevant to the key issues that you need resolved in your life. You need a person who can provide a unique perspective. You need somebody who has the ability to tailor content to the challenges and the questions at hand. You need somebody who clicks with you intellectually as well as personally. You need somebody who has an intuitive understanding of your strengths and meshes well with your strengths. You need a person who possesses authentic curiosity and empathy. You need somebody who's free from conflict of interest, both personal and structural. And you need somebody who reciprocates in choosing you. Well, now, who wouldn't want people like that around them? I mean, it's powerful, it's interesting, it's fun, it's safe. It's also deeply satisfying to build and to sustain these lifelong leadership relationships. It's unique to you. She ends the chapter by saying that your inner circle advisors and your thinking partners, these are the most unique and personal parts of your network and your leadership team. And there's no substitute. She argues there is no substitute for the leadership work of seeking the third opinion and incorporating outside insight. There are no set formulas. How you develop and how you call your network of relationships, it can and it should reflect your style and what's best about your leadership. And in chapter two, the next time, we will dive more deeply with the author into these three habits that her research brought forth. I hope you found it thought-provoking. It's a book that you may or may not have ever come across. It's entitled The Third Opinion, How Successful Leaders Use Outside Insight to Create Superior Results by Saj Nicole A. Joni. It's spelled Joni, and so you want to say Joni, but she pronounces it Joni, J-O-N-I. There's a photograph of the cover of the book over at the website. Just go to growgreat.com, Search for episode 5026 and you will find it. So there, it's all I got. If you want to know more about what I'm doing, if you are a small business owner and you are based in the United States and you have interest in being part of a round table of seven other business owners with me operating as the facilitator, the smart guide with the group, there will be a total of eight of us and we will work to help one another. It's the whole goal to leverage connection and collaboration for our individual and our collective improvement in our leadership and to grow our businesses. You can find out more by going to thepeeradvantage.com. My name is Randy Cantrell, and Lord willing, I'll see you next time. Thanks for clicking play and listening.